أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توغا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. We talked about, by the grace of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, on optimism, being hopeful with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, having that husni dhan with Allah Jalla wa Ala, and loads of ayat, riwayat, teachings from Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam were mentioned, and it was mentioned that based upon the amount of optimism we have in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, He will judge us as it. The amount of hope we have in Allah, He will judge us as such. If the amount of optimism we have in Allah is a lot, He will judge us with a lot of His grace. So that is the compassion of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Or as it is said, Basad Umid بردر این خانه آمدم اقرار می کنم که تو خوبی و من بدم. With 100 hopes we have come to this house, to this doorstep, and we admit that we are bad and he is all good.
مردود طرز من نبود بنده ولی باور نمی کنم که تو مولا کنی ردم.
There is no one much more dejected than me in this creation, and also I have hope and I am certain that you will not reject me from your doorstep, O God. That is being optimistic with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala.
Iman man mahabbat o dinam vilayatat bugzar dushmanan to khanand murtadam.
That is, it is my faith, what, that love that I have in you, in your Ahlul Bayt, in your existence, and this religion of mine is this walaya. And then let the enemies taunt me, mock me, tag me with whatever they want to, but that is that love that I have towards you.
قابل نبوده ام که تو دعوتم کنی مولا کریم بوده که بی دعوت آمدم.
That is, although I do not possess any worth, that is, I'm worthless, despite me being worthless, he has invited me. That is having hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now, we talked about the azah that is held for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, all the glorious sayings that we have from Ma'sumeen, and among them it was mentioned, Man zar al-Hussein fi yawm Ashura. That is, whosoever pays a visit to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein on the day of Ashura, wajabat lahu al-Jannah. Jannah is made mandatory and wajib on him. Or whosoever cries on Abu Abdullah, that is also that drop of tear which is shed for Abu Abdullah, it sheds away all the great sins that we have committed. Now this tear, that ziyarat, this love, and that bond that we have towards Abu Abdullah, that will be worthy. It is worthy, but it will give us more benefit if that is in line with the teachings of Quran, that is, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That is, if your claim is that you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, be obedient to me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah too will love you. So that is how that to and fro bond we have with Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, the Almighty Allah, etc. Also it was mentioned about the importance of Ziyarat Ashura, what benefits it has, and now applying it into our day-to-day life, Marhum Quchani, one of the great authors and ulama of the Shia world, he says that I had three hajat. One hajat of mine was that the debt my father has to be paid. The other hajat of mine was for my maghfirah, for my forgiving. And the third hajat was to become knowledgeable, that ilm be given to me. He says that to have these hajat granted, I recited Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days, and on the 40th day I get a note from my father that Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu was salam, has paid my debt. He in reply says that in fact it was Abu Abdullah al-Hussein who paid your debt, and kulluhum min nurin wahid, and all of them are one nur and one light. Now, looking into this tragedy of Karbala that we have, the enemies today, and this has been the situation even in the past, there are three fears they have. And to fight these three fears, they do whatever they want. And we can see that even today. The first fear our enemy has is towards Ashura. The second fear they have is Marja'iyat. And the third fear they have, it's this concept of intizar we have. So because they are scared of these three factors and issues, they lay all their traps, and all of their traps can be seen today. That is how Ashura has to be distorted. That mission of Abu Abdullah has to be distorted, changed. The path which Abu Abdullah has laid and the path of guidance has been laid. So to teach people, mankind, what justice is, what wisdom is, that has to be distorted. And this was something which was laid by Muawiyah, and before that even the second Khalifa, or that inhiraf that was laid after Rasulullah. It started from there, but with Yazid we see that a lot, so much so that in all these khutbas that we have, or in the meetings that Yazid has, or even when addressed before Zainab al-Kubra salamullah alayha, he says that, now this was his lie, but Hashimu bil mulk fala khabarun ja'a wala wahyun nazal. This was his slogan. That is, whatever has been said about wahi, about the message, about the messenger, all that is just a word of mouth. La khabarun ja'a wala wahyun nazal. He says, no message has come, nor any revelation has come forth. So this was the promotion and the belief of Yazid and the belief of Muawiyah, and before that it was the belief of Abu Sufyan. And in these notes that have been recorded, the letters between the father and the son, that is when Abu Sufyan, la'natullah alayh, but upon the entire dynasty alayhim, when he embraced and becomes a Muslim, Muawiyah, he writes to his father that, why did you become a Muslim? He in reply writes to him that, now I can attack Islam and the Muslims much more, being a Muslim, that I could not do whilst I was not a Muslim. So what we see today regarding the attacks on Ashura, attacks on Marja'iyat, attacks on Intizar, it's that foundation stone that was laid, that inhiraf that was laid therein. Now even regarding Intizar, all these different opinions that have come up, how this whole ideology has to be twisted, distorted, changed, so that we are waiting for someone, that waiting has to be misunderstood by people. So that is how the enemies, they stand against deen, and that is by all these inhirafat that we find. So when we talk about Ashura, when we talk about Intizar, when we talk about Marja'iyat, it's that message of Abu Abdullah. That is, whatsoever we have today, all these majalis that were held, all these tears that were shed, they don't go waste. Every majlis has a message. We come here to this majlis, to this doorstep of Abu Abdullah, to learn. Now all these masail that have been mentioned, all these ahkam that are being promoted, all these teachings of Rasulullah that are being mentioned, it's all by the barakat of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And that is what is said, that it is like the ark of Nuh. That is, whosoever embarks on this ark will find salvation. Now Hussein is that safina, is that ship. Now when we say he is that ship, it doesn't mean that we just look at that ship and say, wow, it's beautiful, nice, big. That way no one will find any salvation. If it's a ship, you have to get on board. Only then will we find salvation. Now if we get on board, is that sufficient? No. When we get on board, there are some rules, some regulations that we have to observe in that ship as well. That even if you embark on a plane, a train, there are some rules and regulations. You can't stand there, you can't sit there, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to switch off all your mobiles, everything, so on and so forth. So there are do's and don'ts. The same thing, when you get on this ship of Hussein, there are certain things to be done, certain things not to be done. And that is exactly what that ayah said, that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni, that obedience has to be there. Now, the more the obedience, the more the ma'rifah about Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and his mission, the better we understand. He says, I rose so that this adl could be understood, this message of right and righteousness could be understood and promoted, which was being forgotten. If this message of Abu Abdullah or that sacrifice of Abu Abdullah wasn't there, good that we have good today will not be good. Judging good and bad was almost impossible then, and as it is, it's almost impossible now. So it was the sacrifice of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein which made it easy for us to judge good and bad. Otherwise Yazid and Muawiyah, they had changed all the good to bad, bad to good. So that merit, that values that we have today, all that is by the barakat of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And when we say that he fought for justice, justice is in all aspects. Justice and freedom in the community. Justice, when we talk about adala, it's wisdom in an individual, wisdom, justice in a community, wisdom, justice in an imam, wisdom, justice in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the whole chain of adalat, it runs all the way through. So that is how he brought forth that concept of adalat, made it understand to us. Otherwise, the teaching we find from Muawiyah, Yazid, and before him, they say that God is God, justice is taken away from God. Because he is God, he can do whatever he wants. We believe Allah is there and he is just. Justice means he is wise. He will not do anything which is unwise. That is, he will not punish someone who has done good. He will not reward someone who has not done bad. What they said is that because he is God, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants, he can punish Hussein. If he wants, he can reward Yazid. Because he is God. Justice does not exist. Wisdom does not exist. Now that was the concept they laid. And based upon that concept, now because that Hakim, that Malik, they say he is Dhillullah, he is the reflection of Allah, the shadow of Allah. Because he can do what he wants, he also can do what he wants. It is upon the people and the mankind, they be obedient to this Hakim, no matter how ruthless, how worthless he is, does not matter. The only requirement in the Hakim, according to the teachings of Muawiyah and that whole dynasty, is that just be a Muslim, that's it. Do whatever you want, that is that Hakim, and you have to be obedient to him so that a chaos does not come in the community. That is, take away that adalat from the entire system, right from an individual to God, and that is how they rule. We believe that a person has to be adil himself, he has to be just. Adil means ithyan al-wajibat, tark al-muharramat. That is, all that is wajib has to be done, all that is haram has to be abstained, has to be refrained. In an individual, that adalat has to be there. And as members of the community are made of these individual members, and if every member was adil, if every member was just, if that obedience factor was active in it, we find that the entire community becomes pure and beautiful. So that purity was taught by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that purity was revived by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam. We talked about giving importance to a majlis of Abu Abdullah, about giving importance to the dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and to that many examples were mentioned. For example, the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Abdul Karim Ha'iri, it was his habit that whenever every day the lecture was held, that his Dars-e Kharij, someone recites Masa'ib for Abu Abdullah for a few minutes and then he starts his lecture. Students, they object, what is this? We come here to study and every day we have to listen to Masa'ib. He says, the reason why that is done is because whatsoever I have is due to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. How come? He was informed that 10 days when he was studying in Qom, in Najaf, that 10 days from that day, excuse me, fix kar rahe hain awaaz sahi nahi hai. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد. He was informed that 10 days from that day he will die. He, now noble people or people who have no worry, they just continue with whatever their daily schedule is. He continues, and on the 10th day he starts shaking, shivering, and when they were, his students, they bring him home, and that time they find out that he is giving away his life. As it is wajib that you face a muhtazar who is dying towards Qibla, he was faced towards Qibla, and that sheet also was covered, he was covered, and everyone said he's dying now. Now he says that it was, I saw that ruh is departing from his feet, coming all the way through to his chest, and there when the last part of the body where the ruh is taken away is are the eyes. He says that I see the angels, they are busy and coming to take his life. And he seeks assistance from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Says, Imam, I haven't done anything in this world. If an opportunity is given to me, allow me to serve. The angels, they return. They say that, denied, you can't take his soul. He has sought assistance from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, and that life was given to him. And then he says that, if I have this life that is with me, it is given to me by Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So this Hawza Ilmiya of Qom, whatever the productivity is, or whatever message is given worldwide, every moment the reward of that goes to that Shaykh, and all that is from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So Safinatul Husayn awsa wa asra, that ship of Husayn is vast and fast, will take you to your destination fast. It was mentioned on the first night that marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, to his office, he says that from the mourners of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, get me 10-15 young boys who cry for Abu Abdullah. He brings 15 boys, and then he says, one after the other, each one of them be sent to my room. He says the first one was sent, and he was waiting outside. He comes out, he sees that this boy who was so happy to see this grand Ayatullah, when he is out of his office, he is in tears. The second boy goes in, the same thing, the 14th, the 15th, the last boy who was to go in the room, he said, let me see what's happening in there. Why do they burst into tears when they are out of his room? And then he says that I just wanted, he questions them, do you love Abu Abdullah al-Husayn? They say, yes, we do. He says, really, do you love Abu Abdullah al-Husayn? He questions and cross-questions them, and all of a sudden they start and they burst into tears. When they burst into tears, he says, now wipe those tears on my kafan, on my shroud. And then he says, these tears of this person who has shed it in love of Husayn will be a witness of mine, will be a shafi of mine on the day of judgment. So that is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, Omar whom Ayatullah Sibaway, who passed away just a few years ago, among the great ulama living in Karbala, moved to Iraq, was ousted by Saddam, la'natullah alayh, lived for about 89 years. It so happens that his parents, both of them, he was having blood cancer, was in coma for 20 days. His parents, both of them, died on one day. He did not know that they have passed away.
After 20 days, he was informed that his parents, both of them, have died. He says that in that coma that I had this mukashifa. I saw that my father, he is in the shrine of Abdullah al-Hussein with me. And there, he says, because the parents, they knew that the son is ill. He's having this blood cancer. They come to Aba Abdullah. The father comes and says, Ya Aba Abdullah, I've come here for the shifa of my son. Imam says, but his death has been signed. Father says, you have to undo it. He says that I saw Aba Abdullah go back and then return and says that it has been acknowledged and your son will live. And he lived. He lived for 89 years or 91 years. And then whenever a majlis was recited, he always used to say that I Azad Shudaye Imam Husaynam, that I am someone who was freed by Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So Safinatul Hussein Awsa wa Asra, that is, the ship of Hussein is vast, fast. No matter how much wrong we have done, we don't lose hope. Allah, we have never lost hope. No matter where this majlis is held, no matter how difficult it is, we find that we are present and we benefit from that. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not to take away this great ni'mat, this great blessing that He has bestowed upon us ever. May that be in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah. And we ask Allah that first Shia from our ancestors, by whose presence we are all called, tagged and classified as Shias of Ahlul Bayt, he be rewarded, he be blessed, and a share of whatever is done by us be given to him. We talked about the Day of Judgment, of Sirat, Akhirah. And we came to this point wherein Hashr, that is the resurrection, that will take place. And the first stage in Hashr was the blowing of the horn. That is, mankind, all of them, they will enter this mahshar from their graves. And billions of people, all of them, will be raised instantly, worried, terrified, horrified, tired, and will pour to a point. And here our 8th Imam Riza alayhi salatu wassalam says, Sallallahu Muhammad wa Muhammad, that there are 3 days in this creation of Allah. They are terrific. They are scary. First, it's the day when a baby is born. Says he is terrified stepping into this world and he cries. Says the second day, which is terrific and it's horrific, it's the day of horror. It's the day when we die and we depart from this world and we enter into barzakh. And the third day of horror is the day when we will be raised from our graves. Now we can understand departing from this dunya, entering into barzakh, it's a little bit easier for us because what has been told to us in Quran, in riwayat, teachings by ulama, etc. So we can comprehend a little bit of barzakh in an easier way. But comprehending beyond that, it's almost difficult. And before that also, it's almost difficult. Now, Quran says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ And the trumpet shall be blown, and from their graves they shall hasten towards their Lord. That is when the horn will be blown, that is the horn of the Day of Judgment. And this task is assigned to Israfil, alayhi salam. Israfil is one of the 4 angels to whom this two tasks are assigned, just blowing of the horn on the Day of Judgment and put everyone to rest, and blow the horn again so that everyone is brought back to life. And it is said that in rank, Hazrat Israfil is the highest, possesses the highest rank amongst all the angels of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Even Jibreel alayhi salam, Israfil is higher. Now, one of the reasons they mention is that it's going to be Hazrat Israfil who will kill even Jibreel on the Day of Judgment. And for Israfil, it's going to be Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who will kill him and bring him back to life. And that blowing of the second horn will take place. Says that next ayah, قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. We recite in Surah Yasin. They shall say that, woe to us, ya ويلنا, who has raised us up from our sleeping. They will be addressed that إن كانت إلا سيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محذرون. That is, that blowing of the horn will take place and all the creation will be brought back to life. So mahshar, that is that resurrection place, it's the plain of the day of judgment and is not this land, it's not this dunya. The world that we are living in, that will perish. Loads of many surahs in Quran talk about this. That's this creation that we have, this world that we are living in, the stars, the sun, the earth, everything will just perish. So mahshar is something else. It's another land, it's another place which Allah will create for the resurrection and the judgment. Here our sixth imam says that it is a flat land, no heights there, no lows there in it. And one of the other aspects of this day is the heat of that day, the horror of that day. And then imam continues and says that the land of Qiyamah, its substance is fire. And then says that if there is a shade and shelter on that day, it's the presence of a mu'min. So presence of a mu'min will provide that shelter. Presence of a mu'min will provide that coolness. So who is a mu'min? We mentioned repeatedly, someone who possesses, has faith in Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwwat, Imamat and Qiyamat. That whole package has to be accepted. Taking a few, missing out a few is of no use. It's as if we haven't accepted any of it. We have to take all five of them, one package. And then says that it's going to be hot, muggy, and one would not be able to breathe. Here, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam says that. Imam says the luckiest person in that mahshar is someone who will be able to stand in a spot and breathe, because breathing is going to be difficult. And then says, this is one of the stops and stations. We talked about the stations as well. 50 stops, 50,000 years. Each station, each stop, maximum duration is 1,000 years. Certified by Quran that yawmul, it is khamsina alfasana, that the day of judgment, it's 50,000 years. Now here, our sixth imam says that despite the horror of that day, mu'min will be shaded, mu'min will be safe, mu'min will be able to breathe, and mu'min will be in shelter. And that is due to his iman. So their shadow is the sadaqah they gave, the charity they gave in this life. Now someone present in that majlis, he says that, Yabna Rasulullah, we are not that rich, we can't pay that much of sadaqah every day. And here imam replies that providing shade to them in the hereafter is someone who helped another in this dunya. That helping will be a sadaqah. Someone taught another, that is going to be a shelter, a shade in the hereafter. Any good you do in this world will be given back in a good form in the hereafter, and that will be a shade that will be provided to a mu'min. So none of these actions that we have should be underestimated. Everything is huge, everything is great. As said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says that sadaqah is not just money. If you pave a path for mu'mineen, for people at large, that is sadaqah. You come to this mosque, now if there's just a light missing, you change that light, that lamp, that is sadaqah. Heating, cooling, cleanliness, etc., whatever, guiding someone, visiting someone who is ill. On this also we talked about those glorious ahadith. Visiting someone who is ill is sadaqah, because he is one of those hot spots where du'as are accepted. Normally it is the other way around. Mariz, he says that, pray for me. When here teaching of Ma'asumin says that his du'as are accepted for you, his sins are forgiven. Instead of we asking him to pray for us, it's the other way around. Well, anyway, praying for each other is good, but that is the hotspot, that we ask him to pray for us as his du'as are accepted. in the teaching that Rasulullah has to Hazrat Salman alayhi salam. The other sadaqah is greeting each other, replying to the salams of each other, etc. So any type of sadaqah you give in this dunya will be given back to us in the hereafter. Now, one of these great personalities we can talk about over here, it's Marhum Allama Majlisi Rahmatullah Alayh, the compiler of Biharul Anwar, the greatest asset that we have. He with a team of his students, they compiled this book. Now here, one of his students is Sayyid Ni'matullah Jazairi. He himself is a great pillar, you can say, in amongst our ulama. Now, Ustad and the Shagird, the Ustad and the student, the two, they say that death is certain. We have to pass away. We have to die. Now, who will die first? We don't know. It so happens that Majlisi, the Ustad, he dies. He says that let's inform each other that which of the A'mal were accepted. Now, here, the Ustad passes away. Arrangement was to inform and he does not inform. The student, he comes by his grave, recites Surat Yasin, and then he says that God, create a communication so that he tells me what happened and which one of his a'mal were accepted, although he is brilliant in every aspect. That one book which he compiled was sufficient. But in the calculations of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, measure is something else. That also we talked about, that Sari al-Hisab, Ni'am al-Hasib, that he is swift, he is fast, he is the best in reckoning, etc. Now here he says that one day I was going back from the haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. Says that I was going back from there, and there amidst the marketplace I see someone, some gangsters beating up another person. Says, why is that? Says he owed them and he couldn't pay them, for that reason they were beating him up. He says, how much and what? I'll pay that money. And then he pays them and they go away. He thanks him. Says, no one was present over there. I saved his honor, his fame, his dignity, his izzat, his ihtiram. Allah accepted that among the best of my a'mal. So in this creation of Allah, things are measured in a different way. So here, our fifth imam, he says that someone will be raised naked and bare feet. So how is that? People will be raised on the day of judgment, bare and without any footwear. This is something we do read in Dua Arafah, for example, in Dua Abu Hamza Sumadi. Here imam says, وَقَدْ says that أَبْكِي لِخُرُوجِ نَفْسِي, that is, why do I cry? That is, being raised from my grave, being resurrected on that day. أَبْكِي لِذُلْمَةِ قَبْرِي, do I cry for the darkness in my grave? أَبْكِي لِذِيقِ لَحْدِي, that do I cry for that tightness, that narrowness in my grave? Now all this a lesson to myself first. And then says, أَبْكِي لِسُؤَالِ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ إِيَّايَ, that do I cry for the questioning in my grave by Munkir and Nakir? أَبْكِي لِخُرُوجِ مِنْ قَبْرِ عُرْيَانًا ذَلِيلًا. Now this is our fourth imam, whose a'mal, whose actions are perfect. Now when he talks to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in such a way, in as if he has nothing, says, I will be raised عُرْيَانًا, uncovered, naked, ذَلِيلًا. Now over here, عُرْيَان means without any commodities, without any possessions. Now what is that possession? As Amir al-Mu'mineen says, مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَقَلْبِ السَّلِيمِ, that is those, the good and a pure heart, a sincere heart. So that sincere heart is that iman, the good we have done. Hasanat are the good that were done in this dunya. So it's those two pieces of luggage we need, hasanat and qalb al-salimi. Says if someone doesn't possess those two, it's uryanan. He will be raised, uryan, uncovered, zaleelan, wretched. Hamilan thiqli ala zahri, says that with carrying all my load on my back. So what is that load on my back? It's the sins, the wrong that we have done. Anzuru marratan an yamini wa ukhra an shimali, says, then I look at my right, then I look at my left.
إذ الخلائق في شأن غير شأني. When's the creation, all of them, they are different, not like me, unlike me. So this is how people will be raised, says uncovered, meaning without any possessions, and that is the iman and the good they have done. So mu'min is someone who has removed all the wrong in this dunya. So because he has removed all that wrong in this dunya, that heat will not hurt him. That mugginess or that not being able to breathe in the hereafter, that will not hurt him. Here Ibn Abbas, he reports from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. Says that the first stop, the maximum duration was 1,000. Says that being raised from the grave, entering mahshar, is that first station. And then says that the actions will be submitted, the certificates of mu'mineen will be issued, and they will be proudly showing these certificates to each other. Here says that this stop also is that 1,000 years of stop. Then Imam says, one who is raised and has faith in the fundamentals and had accepted the actions will be safe from the heat, hunger and the day of judgment. Once Jibreel alayhi salam, he comes to the Prophet and says that, Ya Rasulullah, let's go to Baqi. Baqi is that cemetery in Medina. They come, Rasulullah and Jibreel. Jibreel comes by one grave and says, rise by the command of Allah, bi-iznillah. Says the person in that grave, he is raised, he rises, dusts his the dust on him away and says, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Jibreel says, Biiznillah, go back. He goes back. Comes to another grave, says, Biiznillah, rise. He rises and says, terrified. Is it the day of horror, day of judgment? Why did I rise? Says, go back. And he goes back. Says to Rasulullah, this is how people will be raised on the day of judgment instantly. So a mu'min will be raised nurani, enlightened. A kafir will be raised regretting. And we have ayat in Quran which talk about this. Now what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he talks about that khutbah sha'baniyya on that last day of the Sha'ban, addressing to Amir al-Mu'mineen, importance of the month of Ramadan, and then the day of judgment, etc. The first thing which Amir al-Mu'mineen inquires is that, will I be on Iman? Amir al-Mu'mineen, chief of Mu'mineen, he says, will I be on Iman? Rasulullah says, yes. Now, Hassan al-Basri to the Imam says that, I wonder with all these temptations and traps Shaitan has laid, especially nowadays, the amount of sin that can be done in a minute is vast. Compared that to 20 years ago, it cannot be compared. Says, with all these traps Shaitan has laid, with all these temptations Shaitan has laid, how can we ever get into the heaven? Here in reply, Imam says, I wonder, with all that mercy of Allah, with all the favors of Allah, with all that husn izan we have in Allah, how can one get into the hell? We talked about optimism, hope, grace, compassion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that rahmatun lil alameen is Rasulullah, Allah himself is Rahman, is Rahim, Imam al-Asr is rahmatun lil alameen. So with all that grace that we have surrounding us everywhere, it is impossible that we get lost. And this majlis of Hussein does the job. Safinatul Hussein, awsa wa asra, gets us fast. Many who were lost are found here in this majlis of Abu Abdullah. That is that grace of Allah upon mu'mineen. Says, ma'rifatu al Muhammadin bara'atun min an-nar. You know Ali Muhammad, that will be a bara'at, that will be a permit, a salvation for you from the fire. وَحُبُّ Ali Muhammadin جَوَازٌ عَلَى السِّرَاطِ. That is, you love Ali Muhammad, that love of yours will be a permit for you to pass on that sirat. And sirat also, it's tough. Says that it's finer than hair and it's sharper than a sword. So what kind of a bridge is that? so sharp and so fine, where can anyone pass through it?
Riwayat, they say that Quran says, normally we think that Jahannam is down below and we have to pass from above.
Here says that inna jahannama muhitatun, Jahannam is surrounded and we have to pass from that Jahannam. Rasulullah was inquired that do you pass from Jahannam as well? He quotes from Quran, says that yes, everyone will have to pass from that Jahannam, and says that in Surah Al-Maryam, salawat, says in Surah Al-Maryam, says that everyone has to pass from that Jahannam, even me who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa in minkum illa waridha kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya. That even Rasulullah has to pass from that Jahannam. He says, but I will pass from it like a flash. For mu'mineen also, a similar saying is seen from ma'sumeen in a conversation that mu'mineen will have on that day of judgment, that after arriving into the heaven, they will say to each other, we were told, we were informed by ma'sumeen, we were informed in all these majalis, that you have to pass through that hell and you will have to see the heat of that hell. How come we were told and we did not see it? Here says that قَدْ وَرَدْتُمُوهَا وَهِيَ خَامِدًا, that you passed through that hell but that was put off for you. Why is it that hellfire was put off? Here hadith says that there is a group of people, فِرْقَةٌ يَسْتَغِيثُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ, that is a group of people, they will cry from the hellfire. And there is a group of people, فِرْقَةٌ تَسْتَغِيثُ النَّارِ مِنْهُمْ, that here the hell, it starts crying by the presence of those people. Who are they? It's the mu'mineen. For mu'mineen says that, go away, be quick, run. Your presence over here is putting off my fire. Mu'mineen are burn free. Like we've got these non-stick pans. Says mu'mineen, they are burn free. How is a mu'min burn free? Because of that iman, because of that faith in Allah, justice, nabuwwat, imamat and qiyamat, that does not allow that mu'min to burn in the hellfire. So here says that ma'rifatu ali Muhammadin bara'atun min an-nar, hubbu ali Muhammadin jawazun 'ala as-sirat, wal wilayatu li ali Muhammadin amanun min al-'adab. That is, you possess that wilaya of Ali Muhammad, that will be a protection for you from every horror, from every adab, from every punishment, from every chastisement in the hereafter. So that is that special grace that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, He has upon mu'mineen, and may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, this compassion of His increase, and which is more and more, we benefit from that compassion of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It's the 11th, 12th of this month of Muharram, and it's the day when the bodies of Shuhada of Karbala are laid to rest. We believe that the body of an Imam has to be buried by an Imam. Ma'soom has to be buried by another Ma'soom. And here we find that the caravan is taken from Karbala and they are en route to Sham. But here, a hadith they say, and it is our belief, that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was brought back to Karbala, and he, with the assistance of Bani Asad, he laid the Imam to rest, that is, in that grave. The head of Abu Abdullah was not there at that point. It was brought back when they came on the Arba'een, that is after 40 days, the head was buried on that 40th day. On the 11th, that is after Ashura, the women, the children, they were mounted on those rides, donkeys, camels, whatever they were, with those back carriages, back carriages without any rugs, without any cushions, all wooden. And the reason why they kept it like that, so that this Ahlul Bayt household, they are hurt a lot more. A nation such hard-hearted, so they are hurt. Now the women, they request, they say that, can you take us by the bodies, at least we pay our last visit to them. Permission is granted and they bring them so that they could pay a visit, just look at the bodies that lay bare, uncovered, headless, shattered, pounded under hooves, broken, and no one could recognize anybody which one is which. Upon seeing that scene, what they do is that they throw themselves down and everyone starts crying. Zainab Kubra, she comes by the body of Aba Abdullah. She sees from a distance that Sayyid Sajideen, he is disturbed, restless. Now because he was ill, they had tied his feet onto that ride of his so that he doesn't fall down. Wants to come, cannot come, tied. She leaves Imam and comes to him. Now, on the 12th, when they come here, and they see the bodies lay bare, Imam Sajjad, with the help of Bani Asad, comes to this place, says that, blessed be that land that held your pure body, Ya Aba Abdullah. Indeed, the world after you is dark, and the hereafter, by your departure and your arrival in the hereafter, is enlightened. He lays the Imam to rest, and with his finger writes on it, هَذَا قَبْرُ الْحُسَيْنِ ابْنَ عَلِيِّ ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبِ الَّذِي قَتَلُوهُ عَتْشَانًا غَرِيبًا. That this is the grave of Hussein, the son of Abu Talib, Ali, the son of Abu Talib, who was killed thirsty and alone, alienated. The body of Ali Asghar was buried. Ali Akbar was also buried by his feet. The body of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas was buried where he fell to the ground. The bodies of the other companions, they were also buried at a distance from the grave of Aba Abdullah and Hussein. And we find that this tribe of Bani Asad, they were extremely happy that this tawfiq was given to them, that they participated in the burial of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Now someone who is so great like Aba Abdullah, right from his birth, and in that glorious ziyarat nahiya we recited yesterday, As-salamu ala al-mazloom bila nasir. That is, salam be on that mazloom, on that oppressed who has no help, no one to help. As-salamu ala saakin al-turbat al-zaakiya. Salam be on the one who has rested in that pure land. Or as-salamu ala saahib al-qubbat al-saamiya. That is, salam be on that dome which is exalted. As-salamu ala man tahharahu al-jaleel. That salam be upon someone who was purified by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or salam ala man iftakhara bihi Jibra'il. That is, salam be on someone of whom Jibra'il was proud. And salam be on someone whose cradle it was Mika'il who shook and he put to sleep. So someone with that greatness was killed in that way in Karbala. Every type of death was seen by Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. That arrow that was shot onto him was poisonous. That stone that was thrown onto his forehead, the spears that hit him, that dagger, and finally it was that mal'oon shimr what he did. أنا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد Ya Allah, do not make this majlis of ours the last majlis of our life. Count these tears that were shed for Aba Abdullah among the best of tears shed by us throughout our life. Ya Allah, between us, Quran and Ahlul Bayt, never come apart across a separation. May that be in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah. All those who have requested for du'as, all those who have hopes in these majalis, all those who are ill and ailing, all those who have passed away, for all of them, a Fatiha with a loud salawat.